Hi, listeners. This is Wendy from Books and Wine, the podcast.
So happy that you tuned in again. And today's conversation is going to be with a familiar voice, Lorna. We've had her on the podcast before previously. She was telling us all about some of the books that she was reading, but mostly about wine and what a wine connoisseur does and how somebody gets there. So today we are here speaking about our favorite book of both of us, a book that has inspired us to think about a lot of things that are very relevant to us today, as women, as African women. And the book is called The Sex Lives of African Women. And we're going to be drinking a very sophisticated wine as we get into that conversation. So stay with us and see where that leads. So the book that we're talking about is The Sex Lives of African Women. I have a beautiful cover here. Yes, and Lorna, you have a different cover.
Yay.
But they're all so pretty.
They're so pretty and colorful.
And this book came out last year, mm-hmm. I think in July, and took the world by storm.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, being in the book selling industry, I saw the title and I was like, oh, what is this book about? Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And everybody has always been like, ooh, The Sex Lives of African Women. And I remember somebody telling me, I'm going to buy this book, but I have to cover it because I don't want
everyone to see that. That is so funny.
Me reading this book. Yeah.
Being embarrassed to read.
Yeah. What was your first impression when you saw the book or the title of the book?
Funny thing, yes, it came out last year. I think I saw through Chasing Paper Books.
Yeah.
That's Sharon Mundi and Patricia Kivoro book, online book club.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, interesting.
Yeah.
I know I'm not a fictional reader, but, this is actually not fiction.
It's actually not fiction. So the interesting thing, which I think a lot of people have misunderstood, was that it was fictional.
Oh, yes.
So you buy it and thinking, oh, I'm going to see sex on the page, every page. You know, mastairo, people do things. No, but that's not why. Okay, no, I'm not saying you. I'm just saying other people.
Generally.
Okay, fair enough. So, yes, it's a collection of essays, but this is about women telling their own journeys with their sexual lives.
Yeah.
So, it's divided in three sections, right?
Yeah.
So,
there's self-discovery.
Yeah.
Freedom and then healing.
So the stories are themed along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
So you have different voices, different women from different corners of the world who have a heritage in Africa coming to say, okay, as a sexual being, this has been my experience.
Yeah.
And I think that's in a nutshell what the book is.
Oh, yeah. And it's lovely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Wendy.
And the wine that we're going to be pairing this week.
Yes.
Which I think is a befitting wine pair, right?
Okay. Yeah. I think it is. Oh, yeah. Because it's also deep.
Yeah. Complex.
Complex.
A blend.
Sophisticated. And yes, and it's a blend of two.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're going to have a Bordeaux. Mm-hmm. This is a Bordeaux wine. But do you know when it comes to French and how they name their wines, they tend to name their wines based on the region, not like a South African or Australian wine where you see the grape.
The grape,
yeah. So this is a Bordeaux. It's a 2018 vintage and it's called La Veronique.
Ooh,
it's really nice so far. Yeah, a Bordeaux means it's a blend of grape varieties, and most times the grape varieties include Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, Cabernet Franc, Petit Verdot, and also the Malbec. But now, for this one, it's exclusive Merlot and Cabernet Sauvignon. So that's what you're going to be sipping while
talking about this book.
Yay!
Yeah, what can we say? First of all, this wine smells ridiculously good.
Gosh, look at that glass, y'all.
Right?
Yeah. It's just a proper red wine glass.
Yes. I love it. I think you've watched Scandal.
Oh, yes.
we've talked about Olivia Pope before.
Scandal, yes.
Yes. So, this is an Olivia Pope podcast as
yes.
well.
Yes. Big glass red wine and a nice couch.
Right. It's always a mood.
It's always a mood. Yeah. What notes are you getting?
Oopsie, already drunk.
It's okay.
There's something herbaceous.
And that's from the Cabernet Sauvignon.
Ah.
Yeah, because remember Cabernet Sauvignon is the mother, or is the daughter or the son of Sauvignon Blanc, Cabernet Franc. Yeah, and the Sauvignon Blanc is very herbaceous in nature. So,
so you have the cut grass, like just edges, right?
Like dowers, come on, herbal, herbs. Yes. So those are the digital notes.
Yes, okay.
Yeah. And most time people would confuse a Cabernet Sauvignon and a Merlot because they're very close but very different as well.
Mm-hmm.
Merlot is somehow lighter.
Mm-hmm.
And if a Cabernet Sauvignon is very strong, a Merlot is mixed with it to make it more friendly in the tannins.
To lighten it up.
I'm also getting some spice. I don't know.
Yes.
There are spice notes, some spice notes there.
Something, not cloves, not that heavy dark, but just like a light.
Light spice?
Yeah.
I think the dark, the heavy is on like some dark fruits. Some dark fruits that, and I'm thinking of dark fruit that has a lot of, the skin is a bit bitter. And
it's so like a plum or a something plum, like that. Okay.
Enough about the wine. Where were we with the book?
I mean, yes. So let's talk about the book. For me, what I found very, very revolutionary is this whole idea of putting it so publicly that African women have sex lives.
Yeah. And very, very happy, very experimental sex lives.
Yes. But also there's a lot of hurt and pain in addition to that.
Yeah.
But what is it like, the one thing that stood out for you?
Oh, wow. One thing was like, wow, is my sex life that uninteresting? Don't get me wrong. I'm happy. But when you read this book, it gives you a lot of food for thought.
Yeah.
Food for thought for sure.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, African women, we've been for a very long time, we've been told it's not okay to talk about sex publicly, like even if you're watching a movie with your parents and then a kissing scene, everyone's like acting awkwardly.
These things don't happen,
you shouldn't let a boy touch you. All those growing up, even us in this modern world, we still grow up with that uncomfortable chat about sex. This book, gosh, it's on another level.
You know what, it's interesting you say that, because I appreciated that it became a conversation starter.
Yeah.
That I can take this and buy, because I have gifted a lot of people a copy of this, because I felt that it was important for us to have a starting point to talk about these things. And because it's never safe, you don't even know whether it's safe with your friends.
Yes.
To speak about things. So this book, I think, opened it up for a lot of people. And I mean, we're here sitting talking about it.
Yeah.
Which is good, because I think it's
a long way we've come from.
Yeah.
We've come from a very long way.
Yeah.
And women like Nana has enabled that.
Yeah.
You know? And these are real life experiences.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Real life. Not fiction. Everybody had to live through this thing.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, power to them.
Power to them.
Power to them.
I listened to an interview with Nana, and she was saying some of these women who, you know, the names used in the book are pseudonyms. So guys, don't go up there. trying to look for that specific.
No, yes. Some use the pseudonym and some other said, use my real name.
Yeah. And the people who she used her their pseudonyms are like, next time, please, I want my name to be out there. Because you wrote it so well and it reflected my life.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was actually very nice.
But you know what? I can't blame anybody who doesn't feel like it's the right thing for them to use their real name. Because like we're saying, it's still taboo.
Yeah.
So sometimes these things have happened to you, whether they're good or bad things.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not ready to share it with the people that know you in real life, right?
Yeah.
Maybe
your
family or whatever. So it's like, okay, I want my story out there, but just use my pseudonym.
Yeah.
So in terms of respecting and protecting their privacy,
good for them.
And the ones that like went out there and used their real names, like, you know, that is so brave.
Yeah.
There's a Kenyan.
No. Is it Nura?
No, there's a... Philester. Who is a sex worker by choice.
Yeah.
And
she says it's a community. And
yes.
It is a community, and she finds happiness and belonging in that...
Exactly.
In that community.
Exactly.
I mean, who are we to judge?
Yeah. So I've actually met Philester.
Hey, okay.
At an event that we had done for inspired by the book.
Oh, wow.
So when the book came out in July, so Manami Books put an event for the book in October.
Wow.
And
we hadn't met when Wendy.
We hadn't met yet.
I would have loved to come.
So we had a lot of women come in. And we reached out to the author. The author tuned in. She was in Ghana at the moment.
Oh,
she tuned in. And Philester also came. And she was like, yeah, I'm proud of what I do. It makes me happy. It puts food on the table.
Mm-hmm.
My kids know what I do. They are fully, fully aware of what I do. And they don't have a problem with it. So who are you to have a problem with what I do?
Mm-hmm.
But also she's like, her choice to put her real name.
Mm-hmm.
In the book was so that people can, if you want, you can Google her, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that people, you know, sex workers tend to be this gray space, gray people that don't have faces, they don't have families, they don't have lives. So like, yes, I want you to see that I'm an actual living human person.
Yeah, yeah.
This is what a sex worker looks like. So I thought, wow, brave.
Okay, that's interesting. There was something, just correct me, a bit of double standards in sex workers job in Kenya, because the police will be out here burning them, yet
yes, again, they're still their customers,
they're still
patronizing, you know, the industry, so which is yeah
and it's the oldest career, right?
Oldest trade.
Yeah, you see, that's such an eye opener. We come out judgmental, oh, you're a sex worker, but it's a community, and
and they're here, there for each other. But there's also another Kenyan who featured.
Oh, Nura, my favorite.
Yes, your favorite.
The introductory part of the book.
The first story.
The first story. We have nothing in common with my sisters, but we share His Excellency.
Which I thought was really interesting.
My sister and I have nothing in common. Well, that's not exactly true. We have His Excellency in common. We are all married to the same man.
Which? Okay. No. It's your story.
Yeah. No, but you know, just it. Let me tell you guys. I don't know. I mean, this is a book, and thinking about a book, it just gives us. It gave us food for thought. Someone has sparked my mind reading Nura's story.
Yeah.
She's a modern woman.
Yeah.
And she's a Muslim. Yeah. And she met a Congolese guy, and fell in love through online and.
Went, no, Senegalese, sorry. Yeah, yeah.
Senegal went and joined the other wives and became the youngest wife.
Yeah.
By choice. Like, yeah. She chose polygamy.
Left her family, left everything.
And went and she was excited with the new, you know, the new life she's picked. I mean, and I thought about it. Actually, polygamy is quite an interesting. I saw something. I mean, I don't know if I read or just came across something and it struck me. It was more like women in monogamous relation Christian marriages are actually more suppressed, most statistically, most times compared to traditional polygamy.
Wow.
I mean, I was like, wait,
wow,
that's intense. Because
wow,
and this was the reasoning. It's actually good for
okay,
it's good up for a debate, but it was just it made me start thinking.
Yeah,
because as a woman, you only have your husband probably twice a week. And the rest of the days you're doing your own
they're
stuff.
You have your life, you have your time, you have your own stuff.
Any
books, an appointment to see you.
Yes.
Like, okay, power.
I mean, I was like, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, interesting. I've just thought about something.
Yeah.
What
and you know, think? It's funny because if you think about like your grandparents, most likely, I would bet they were polygamous, right?
Yeah.
But in a span of two generations, this is something that we are really frowning over.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think about it, like, is it really serving you?
Yeah.
Because I always wonder, and this is no license for anybody to quote me, like, if it was working really well, we wouldn't have all these scandals of cheatations or
cheating
this and
or
that, that, that.
Actually a single
and
mom.
All of those. Yes.
And fatherless kids.
Yes.
And
so I think for me, what I think, like my own actual position is that as long as there is consent, right?
As long as there's consent.
Yes. As long as there is consent, everybody is coming in knowing this is what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
When this is our husband.
Yes.
And not somebody switching up on you, like several years later,
yeah.
They want to change the rules of the game. But if somebody says, okay, like for instance, like her, Noura, she's going in to a Muslim situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she already knows there are other wives, and the husband has been very clear. Yes, I have two other wives. So you come in, you have adjusted your expectation.
Yeah, like what's it? You know, you only see him twice a week.
Full disclosure.
I
think that's okay.
That's
but,
okay.
Yeah,
full disclosure. I mean, like, yo, I'm married, so please, I'm not out there. Don't be watching and saying, I see what you say.
Yeah.
No. We just like having a conversation. Like,
yeah.
Let's give it a thought.
Yeah, I mean, because these things like happen in the real world that we all live in. And yeah, I mean, if at the point that you're dating somebody,
mm-hmm.
for instance, says, by the way, I believe in polygamy, right there, then you have a choice to stick
yes,
around or not
me.
Stick around, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's my own personal, you know,
yeah.
stand on that thing.
Yeah,
like, if you come with full disclosure before, not after the contract
even
is
when
sealed.
You're getting into marriage, you know you're getting into a polygamous marriage.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think probably that's why our grandmothers didn't...
And their friends, their co-wives.
Exactly.
And the kids are just...
Yeah. They
together.
Didn't have an issue with it because you already knew this was a situation I'm walking into.
Mm-hmm.
And as a first wife, you even had privilege to influence who your co-wife was going to be.
Yeah.
You're going to like,
not
this one, I can't live with. So it was our wife. It was
yeah.
not your wife.
Yeah.
So
it's very interesting.
First of all, there's a lot of pain, which we must
yeah.
acknowledge.
We have to acknowledge pain, yeah.
Hey, some are heavy. Many are heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Like the cases of abuse,
mm-hmm.
Of sexual abuse,
mm-hmm.
which begs the question, like, guy, is existing this hard?
Yeah,
you
it's
know.
Existing this hard. Even just saying that, even it made me think about... The FGM,
yes,
yeah, the woman
this,
who was,
yes,
you know,
who her mother, yeah,
her mother, and these are modern women. I mean, they're
these are people who are alive right
yeah,
now,
alive
so
right
it kind
now,
of
yeah.
gives your perspective.
Gives your perspective. It's not like our grandmas and our great, these are women, and apparently, she was there. The family was a bit exposed, it's not that they were
yeah.
very traditional, and then they went through FGM. And
yeah.
I think what I learned,
and she
that,
didn't even know that is what
was
going to happen.
That was what's going to happen,
yeah. So it's very
I mean,
traumatic,
it's very traumatic, and that's sexual abuse to kids,
yeah.
That's sexual abuse to kids. I don't know if anyone or even if you watched
yeah.
The Housewives of Dubai.
My friend keeps sending me clips. I haven't watched yet because
oh.
I'm kind of waiting for the episodes to...
Oh, actually, it's over.
Jaja. Eh?
It's season
over
one
now. Is
season
over.
One is over. And
okay, fine.
Why I'm asking it, it's...
There's a Somali lady.
Yes, she is a Kenyan Somali girl and she also talked public. She spoke publicly about her experience with FGM and
yeah.
it just shocked the world and it was so painful to see such a modern woman and
yeah.
still the parents, the people who you think they care for you and they love you. They
yeah.
still take you through this pain.
Yeah.
You can imagine the kind of trauma they live with. If
yeah.
my mom could do that to me,
yeah.
then who can I trust in this world?
But I think it's that whole idea of some of the beliefs that we hold are counter what we, you know, like they're counter-rational, if
mm-hmm.
that is even a word. Because you would think that for somebody you love, you wouldn't hurt them. But if you believe that for them to be a complete woman, they need
to
go through this, right? And there's always this whole idea of, even me, I went through it, right?
Yeah.
So,
gosh, it's
did
so...
I die? No.
Yeah.
You get.
Yeah.
So,
actually, just saying that, I think with what you've said, when you believe that this is someone I love, you've been grown up knowing that. I mean, you've been growing up knowing that my family can't hurt me.
Yeah.
I think this book tells you the things that you should unlearn. And there's a lot of
exactly.
relearning to take place. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you for saying that. Yes.
Yeah,
there's a lot of like, challenging your beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reminded of the, she's Zambian,
mm-hmm.
But somewhere in the south of Africa,
mm-hmm.
who lives in the US,
mm-hmm.
and it's a BDSM one.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah.
So
let me get the name actually.
They start out with the husband, like they just want to explore and see what is this world about.
He's deviant.
Yes.
And the name was also just.
and she, there's a sentence that didn't leave my mind,
mm-hmm.
because she was like, in those circles, whenever like the unpleasant experiences she's had, has always been with either black men or black African men.
Wow.
So the cultural bit really comes in. Like, there's a lot, this book is saying, there's a lot that we have to unlearn.
Yeah. As much as we tend to uphold, we are Africans, there's some traditions, but in reality, it's not.
Is it serving? Who is it serving?
Who is it serving? Yeah.
Right now. Nobody. No, so do away with the thing, right?
Yeah.
Some other stories that really struck me were the stories on healing,
mm-hmm.
because I loved that people have taken agency over their lives.
Yeah,
they're saying, this might have been my situation, mm-hmm. but it's not what I wanted.
Yeah,
I'm gonna turn it around.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lady who's chosen to be a celibate.
Yeah,
I think for a year she did a whole
300
year.
Days, then she went to 1,000 days of celibacy.
Oh, nice!
And 1,000 like, wow. days.
Okay. But, wow. If you've chosen to be the dress
just for healing, yeah.
Yes. But you know the kind of sense of like coming back to yourself and saying, why am who am I? What do I want?
And that doesn't
what don't I want?
Me. Yeah. My past doesn't define me. Another lady for healing is this lady that striked me was the lady who went to India for about 6 weeks for she chose spirituality path. For healing. Mm. I mean, just India, you know, Asian countries are known for spirituality.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow.
Buddhism,
yeah. Meditation, yoga.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she chose that path to go so that she can be a better girlfriend. Remember, she's still lesbian.
Yeah.
To her partner.
Yeah. Wow. And I guess the thing is, like, when you reflect mm-hmm. upon yourself,
mm-hmm.
then you're better able to take stock and say, even for myself, like, what kind of a person am I to me and also to the next person?
Yeah.
Like, to the partner that I've chosen.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. But also the diversity in the book.
Oh, so
there's
diverse.
Not a single person's experience that mirrors the next,
yeah,
right?
They are very different and guys from every part of the world.
Yes.
But African ladies and also ladies from the Caribbean, ladies from Honduras.
Yes. So it's a very Pan-African book that it kind of painted the diversity of Africanness,
mm-hmm.
that you could be in the Caribbean, but you trace your roots in
back to
Africa. You could be in Europe, you trace
Brazil,
your roots. Yes.
Where,
and I found that the experiences are not very, once you remove that this person is from here and there,
mm-hmm.
the experiences are very relatable, right?
Yes, actually, that's another thing. A takeoff from the book, let's say African women and just women.
Yeah.
There was very many common things about just sexuality, even with the Western culture.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
The book, I don't know, like, of course, be ready for all the, it's not going to, what has happened?
More information has been stored.
Oh,
automatically the oh Lord, Hamas. So it's definitely a very Pan-African book. You see women from every corner of the world,
mm-hmm.
from the Caribbean to Brazil to Europe and of course the African continent.
Yeah.
But the thing is, their experiences outside of it being a different geographical setting, they feel very familiar. It looks like your sister, a cousin, somebody
your
you know.
Aunt.
Exactly.
Actually, that's true. And generally, just the sexuality of women, there's no much difference. I mean, you know, I know in African countries, unconventional sexual activities are not really spoken about like the West, but the book brings out a lot. So you can see suppression there, like
exactly
a bit of suppression because there's a lot of lesbianism. polyandry, polyamory,
yeah,
bisexual,
pansexual,
all this, a lot.
Yeah, all this forms of being that are usually frowned upon or not accepted.
Yeah,
but I love that everybody has embraced or they have gone against the grain and said, this is who I am.
Deal with it. Yes.
And it's in that life, right?
That's
like
life.
If you wait for everyone to okay your existence, to say it's fine, now you may breathe. You would never. You know?
Yeah.
Because it's always yet one more thing that you must do.
Just let me in. Yeah, and tick it off and be like discovering. I mean, the self-discovery stories, like women in their 40s, late 30s, even in their 50s, and they're discovering their sexuality.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
that's so profound, I think. Yeah.
Okay, great. So, actually,
mm-hmm.
there's somebody who asked a question, which I find I always borrow when this book comes up,
mm-hmm.
is if you were to contribute a story
mm-hmm.
to this collection,
uh-huh.
what would your story be? No, that's food for thought.
Food for thought.
Of course, that's
I thought
food for
about
thought.
It when I was reading.
Right?
Yeah. I was like, gosh, I don't
think. If I was to say this, would you? Yeah. Maybe. And I'm like, what would I say?
What would you say?
So I guess people can just think about it. Like, read the book and think about it.
And just every time I read a book, and I don't know if you have the same experience, such books, you remember something from a previous book that affirms what you've just read.
And make like, that connection.
Like, yes. So it was the thing about how the freedom of sex. I mean, by freedom, I don't mean that, of course, multiple partners. I just mean like the freedom of allowing sex as a humane thing. Just...
Like, you know,
just let it be. Don't try to make it look dear. Just let go.
Yeah. You know, actually, speaking of Nana, the author of the mm-hmm. book, has a podcast. It's called From the Bedrooms of African Women.
Ooh.
And I think, I might be wrong, but I have listened to the podcast, and this is where she talks to a guest and talks about pleasure as a human right.
Oh yeah. Oh wow. Right? That is so good though.
Yeah. Like everybody has a right to a good time.
Yeah.
Like to feel loved, accepted, and just as they are, right?
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, like when you look at say movies or popular images, sexiness looks a certain way, right?
Yeah.
So if you don't look that way that Hollywood is pushing, you kind of feel like, ooh, do I have to have lingerie?
Yeah.
Do I have to have this and that? Or do I have to be X size? Like,
no.
Yeah,
but
no.
But actually, barely no.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, a big N-O, you don't need.
you actually just need to be existing.
Just to be existing because it's such a human thing. Yeah,
so pleasure is a human right.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. I'll go check out her podcast.
Yes. I have a coin question.
Yes.
So for me, mm-hmm. I always, like when I see a wine is a Bordeaux, I mm-hmm. always, in my mind, I believe it's a really good wine.
Oh, wow. That's a good question.
But this one is proving me right.
Yeah.
Like I'm kind of enjoying it. Very tempered.
And it's also
mellow.
Bold. It's bold.
And it's
full body.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So let me tell you about that. Of course, when Bordeaux is always the region of red wines, like the king, mostly they crown them. I mean, they've been crowned for so many years, And when you get a Bordeaux, chances are you're gonna get a good bottle. And like for instance, this is a vintage Bordeaux, it's like a 2018.
Yeah.
I mean, chances are you're gonna get a good wine, and depending on the price point, you're gonna get a good bottle. But not always I think the moment you interact with the wine, you will know what's good, working for you and what's not. But most times, Bordeaux will be great because it's the king of reds. It stems from Bordeaux. But also give a chance to the Napa reds. Yeah.
Yes,
won in something in blind tasting.
Oh, really?
A wine from Napa Valley. A Cabernet Sauvignon from Napa Valley.
I think the capsule from Napa is
yes.
is legendary.
It's you see now, it overtook a Bordeaux or Bodo region where French wine, and yeah, that was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
So New World Wines can even give us very good wines.
Okay. They're doing the hard work.
They're doing also the hard work. Yeah. So I would say Bordeaux is, it's like knowing your single malt whiskey.
Yeah.
It's like the Bordeaux, yeah?
Yeah.
But yeah. It's always like, don't give it a 10%. Sometimes it won't be the best.
Okay.
Just 10%, but most times it
will. Okay, but if you're like walking in the aisle, you can default to that. You can be like, oh, okay.
Yes,
if most likely.
Sure. Yeah. If you're not sure about where wine, and you have a slightly good budget.
Mm.
Like, by good, I mean probably, you know, in Kenya, I'm using Kenyan shillings, between 1500 and above.
Yeah. But I also see like there's some abbreviations on the bottle. I think it says AOC Bordeaux.
Yes. So that it's how the French, there are very many ways of how French label their wine. So this is called Appellation Bordeaux Contrôlée.
Oh.
It's an appellation. In English you say appellation. In French is an appellation.
Okay.
In French, Bordeaux Contrôlée.
Yeah.
So it's how it's a regional thing. So there's a certain
like a control.
AOC.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Okay.
I don't know if you see in Italian bottles DOC, DOCG.
Ah, like the same. Okay. Okay. Like this region, we're gonna. These are our standards.
The standards.
This is how
region,
we're going to okay things.
Yeah.
These are the our minimum requirements, that kind of thing. Okay,
yes.
I get it.
So that is it's a labeling thing. It's a region labeling thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one is good, yo.
Oh.
Love it.
Yay.
Good choice.
I was really impressed with the Lavaronique,
the name.
But also the crown.
Because
I don't know. Could be just me romanticizing things. But when like they have this kind of a crown, it kind of speaks to like an old a heritage wine.
Yes, old
like
wine.
Vineyard.
Actually, right, this is an old
because,
wine.
Because like, when they used to do these crowns, like a family crown, you know, like an emblem, Game of Thrones type of things, right?
It's a family thing.
Mm.
And you see here, it's from old vines, and it's exclusively Merlot and Cab Sauv. So what happens with old vines, they're very old, and meaning they'll produce very good tasty wines because their roots have gone deep into the soil, and then they'll strive to get all the nutrients. So they really tend to bring out the best wines from old wine.
Dope. Love it.
Love it.
This is a nice bottle. Yeah, do definitely check it out.
Yeah.
And make sure you read the book.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I would say if you're an African woman, if you're a woman, you must read the book.
I think you must
read the book.
And get it from Somanami.
And of course, get it from Somanami.
Yeah. You need to meet Wendy.
If you're in Kenya, if you're in Nairobi, most especially.
Yes, she will make it. Just be ready to have a space for more books. She'll tell you, there's this and this one, even better.
Yeah, so for Books and Wine, which is a platform that I run, so that people can explore, and enjoy wine while drinking it, right? And hence, again, this podcast. But yeah, for Books and Wine, we just finished talking about and reading Viola Davis' memoir.
Oh, that was nice.
Finding Me.
Ooh, that was good, yeah.
That was really so raw, so relatable, so vulnerable. I think everybody should read it.
Yeah.
Because other than, you see, when you see somebody, you expect glamorous, Hollywood, your hair, makeup done, everything.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't know the story.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know that this person has had to stay hungry, to almost be homeless so many times, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, so that was the book that we did. It was really good. And we had some Napa Cab, so
yeah.
I mean, if you've missed that, that's okay. But because we are doing it again on 8th of October, we're going, been reading The Secret Lives of Church Ladies.
Hot.
Decadent book.
Mm-hmm.
To, like, explore how people can live double lives. Like, there's a face that you present. So the premise of the book, it's a collection of short stories. All of them featuring women somewhat connected to the church.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a certain expectation of how you should be.
the kind of life that you should live. Mm-hmm. But then, because you're still human, pumping red blood, you have certain desires, certain inclinations that are not acceptable, that you've been told no. Yes, there's not space for them. Mm-hmm. So how does that play out? How does that conflict work out?
Oh, yeah.
So I think it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, and better join us.
And we're thinking of doing something very interesting with the wine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was funny and nice and a very great idea. You come and then you'll know what
you come is. And find out. Like, the wines have to also, deliver. Yeah. Which I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah, as usual, it's always amazing to have a chat with you, Wendy.
Yay!
And, hope you get,
and if you guys like enjoy this banter, let us know.
Yes,
so that we can do more often. Of this.
Yeah, review books of the month and wine for the month. And,
yeah. We already have so much fun, you know, just sitting together and talking about it.
Yeah, even
so
I hope before you enjoyed. The shoot, we were just laughing and just talking about different stories.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, let us know in the comments down below. Yeah, and follow Wendy on Books and Wine.
Yes.
On Instagram and also on Spotify and all other platforms.
All other podcast platforms. Mm-hmm. Books and Wine, the podcast is available. But to find everything, mm-hmm. you can just go to www.booksandwine.co.ke. Mm-hmm. You find the podcast link, the meeting information, and all of that. And of course, Sip with Lonzi is on YouTube. She's always putting out videos if you want to learn about wine, how to open a bottle, what glass to use with what wine, and everything in between.
Yes.
Yeah, like a lot of wine content told in a relatable way, which I absolutely love.
Until the next one,
cheers! Yay!